Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, we've been dealing with a home for quite a while now, several years, a matter of fact, off and on. And so we're right back to dealing with the subject now. And the last couple weeks, we've looked at the order of the home. We looked at the order of the home that I gave you an example last week out of the book of Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19 on Abraham's home and Lot's home, and showed you two different homes. One of them, who's an example of a home being in order, and the other one of a home that is an example of not being in order. God likes things done in order, and He likes it done in Bible order, not what you think is order. And so He likes things done that way. 1 John chapter number 4, and so I'm not going to go back to Ephesians chapter 5 right now. We've been in that chapter several times throughout our study on the home. But in Ephesians chapter 5, the wife is told to submit to her husband. The husband is told to love her husband. The book of Titus chapter 2, the wife is told that she's supposed to learn how to love her husband, and the wife is supposed to love his wife in Ephesians chapter 5. I'll get those straight. All right. Either way, they're both told that they're supposed to love one another. And that's important for a marriage. Amen. I would think it's very important for a marriage. Now, the husband is told to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And he's supposed to love his wife as much as he does his own body, his own self. And we know that for men, that's a lot of love. Amen. And I'm not just talking about size. Amen. A man loves himself. And so we get a great example. Well, the wife is told that she is taught, that she needs to be taught how to love her husband. And we talked about how the man falls in love with what he sees, the woman falls in love with what she hears. And so he's told to love her. He'll get her home, and he fell in love with her. She's beautiful. And then he finds out all the quirky things about her, and he's supposed to just love her anyway. Amen. And then they get home. And she finds out that all the love notes stop. And the flowers stop. And all those things just stop. Amen? And now there's dirty underwear. And now there's dirty socks. And now there's funny odors coming. Amen? All kind of things. And so now she has to be taught how to love her husband, and the Bible even says to love her children. Now, a lot of mamas will say, man, I don't need to be taught how to love my children, but you absolutely need to be taught how to love your children the right way. Amen. And to love your husband. And so the Bible commands both parties, the husband and the wife, to love each other. And since man is commanded to love his wife, the wife is supposed to be taught how to love her husband, then I believe tonight in the next several weeks, we're going to begin to look at this thing of love in the home. Love in the home. And a lot of people ask the question, what is love? Now, that's one of those questions that there's many different definitions for what is love. But I like Bible definitions. Amen? Bible definitions. So look at 1 John chapter 4. A lot of people define love in different ways. Look how God and the Bible defines love. All right? 1 John chapter 4. And verse number 8, and I need to get there myself. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. You know, the Bible defines a whole lot of things in our life that if we took the Bible definition for it, we'd be in a whole lot better place. All right, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8. Actually, let's go back up to verse number 6. We are of God. All right, those that are saved. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that He might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, according to this definition of love in the Bible, if someone is not saved, they do not know how to love properly. Right? There's all these other things and emotions that they can have that they call love, but God is love. And if you don't have God, you don't have true love. And you won't know how to love the way you're supposed to. And there's a lot of homes and marriages and children and things like that that are in a lot of trouble today. And it's because maybe one or two of the parties aren't saved. It could be. Now, there's some that are saved and they've got a twisted idea of what love is as well. But it's a good place to start with knowing that you're saved. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, you can know that you have eternal life. Know for sure that you're saved. Amen. And you won't understand what true love is until you get saved. Until love comes to live inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And so God knows exactly what love is. And so because God knows what love is and He can define what love is because He is love, then we can understand as we look through Scripture about love and about this other word that we're going to look at here in a few minutes of charity, God knows what He's talking about when it comes to those things. And so when the Bible tells the husband to love his wife and tells the wife she's supposed to be taught how to love her husband, that's in a biblical definition of what love is. Not a world's definition. Love is not sex. That's not what it is. Love is not attraction. Love is not lust. Love is none of those things. Amen? And so we're going to begin to look at some of this stuff. If we're told to do it, we need to understand it. And God's Word says that Christians are to love as Jesus Christ loves. So if we're going to obey God's Word, we need to understand what this thing of love is all about. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. We have dealt a lot with the husband, with the wife. We've dealt with their responsibilities in the home. The husband's supposed to love, lead. He's supposed to provide, protect, and all those things. We looked at the wife. She's supposed to submit. She's a helpmeet for her husband. Her husband needs to be her main focus, not secondary focus. We looked at all those things. And now as we begin to look at this thing of love, all those other things will fall into place if we could get our loving right. Biblical love. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. And we know that to be true. But charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. You can have a knowledge on what you think love is and what you think a marriage ought to be and what you think is love towards your wife or submitting to your husband. You can have in your mind a knowledge of what that is, but without proper love and without God, you don't know anything. And if your definition of the home and the family and marriage is a television show, you're in big time trouble. And if it's Facebook, and if it's all these things on social media that these people want to portray as love, there's a fad right now among teenagers getting engaged and having their hands all over each other and all these poses before they get married. And they're all doing it. They're all doing the same poses, the same thing, and they think they're in love, and they're going about the whole marriage. They're starting it all off wrong. And they think they're in love. But they're starting the whole thing off wrong. They don't even know if each other's saved. They probably never talked about it. And past salvation, have they ever talked about what we're going to believe about the Bible? What are we going to do about raising children? What are we going to do about discipline in the home? You say, we'll work that out later. Okay. Try working that out later. When he says, hey, we're going to discipline our children how the Bible says, and she goes, no, we're not. Oh, now we're going to talk about it? Hey, man. And most of the time it's when you got a 5 or 6 year old, not when he's a baby. Amen. And now we have got a challenge on our hands. Amen. Those things ought to be discussed before marriage ever takes place. You say, did you do that? Yes. Well, I did. And thankfully, somebody told me to do that before I got married. Amen. I had a dad that said, hey, you guys need to sit down and discuss all this stuff. Amen. If you're going to talk about marriage, you need to talk about every bit of this. And a little known fact about myself, when I moved to Alabama, I moved with a young lady. I moved up from Florida. She moved from Ohio. We were engaged to be married. And it wasn't Miss Sarah. And we sat down and had Bible conversations about how the home's going to go. And she said, I will not do those things. Amen. It was awkward. She had a ring on her finger and everything. We were months away. And my dad, I'm thankful for it, he sat me down and said, hey, do what you want. You're a grown man. He's like, but you guys need to discuss what the Bible says about some things before you get married. And I'm thankful he told me that. And you know what I could have told him? Like a lot of teenagers tell their parents, hey, I'm doing my own thing. I know what I'm doing. And I said, well, ain't no big deal. So we sat down and we began to go over stuff. I said, hey, this is how I want to raise our children. And we looked at Scripture and she goes, nope. Okay. Amen. It's going to continue to get awkward and it I don't care. I said, you're not going to wear pants. And she said, nope. I knew it'd get quiet. I believe that I got biblical grounds for what I believe on that. But I said, you're not going to do that. She said, nope. And then she said, I'm not marrying my dad. She said, I grew up that way, and I'm not raising my kids that way. Now, her dad took things overboard, and some people do. And they're wrong for doing that. They're wrong for doing that. I heard a quote the other day I thought was really good. A preacher was talking about if I'm going to fall, like if I'm going to fall into something, I want to fall too far to the right than to the left. When I get to heaven, if I get up there and God said, hey, you took too strong of a stand on the King James Bible, you know, I would rather him say that than say, you compromised the King James Bible. Amen. You dressed too modestly. I would rather him tell me that than to say, why did you run around naked? Amen. And so, but I heard this quote. A preacher said, I don't want to fall to the left if I fall because that's compromise. And he said, I don't want to fall to the right because if I fall to the right, that's cultish. And there's people that take Bible standards and they make a God out of them and they make it self-righteous. They're doing it for all the wrong reasons. There's going to be some of the most modest dressed people in the world get to heaven and find out that they were wicked in their heart about how they addressed the matter. That's not what it's about. It's not about look at me. It's not about look at my home. It's not about look how perfect my family is. I have seen families that have the perfect family. Everybody dressed right. Everybody quoted Scripture. Everybody did just right. But I'm telling you, their heart was far from God, and the kids ended up in all kind of wickedness. The marriage ended up being busted up. Why? It was all for show and not about pleasing Christ. So the things that we do in our home and the things that we do in our marriage is to please Christ. We believe that if we do these things, we're pleasing Christ. Somebody else doesn't do it, that's between them and God. But we believe we're pleasing Christ. All right? So understand that. So when I talked to her, we went over all these things. She said no. And I had to make a very tough decision and say, we're not getting married. I believe God's called me to preach. I believe He's called me to pastor. And you cannot be my wife. Amen. She moved back to Ohio. A couple weeks later, she called me. She's like, I will wear sackcloths and ashes for the rest of my life if you'll take me back. But God showed me some things. Amen. And I was not right with the Lord during that time. I was in church. I never got out of church, but I wasn't in my Bible like I should be. And God showed me some things. And then after all that happened, I looked up and Miss Sarah was singing. Amen. And the Lord said, look up. Behold, our redemption draweth nigh. And I saw an angel singing. I said, who are these people? At first, it was like, who is this lady? And they're like, there's other people up there singing too. Y'all tell her I said all this. They said, that's the Glory Land girls. I said, well, amen. And I remember the first time I went and asked her if I could call her, and I talked to Brother Jeff and asked him out in the parking lot, and she said, "Yes, you can call me." She turned around and ran off. I was like, "I didn't get your number." I had to chase her back down. Asked if I could text her and call her. I talked to her dad first, didn't I, Brother Jeff, out in the parking lot?
Yeah.
And so, but before we ever got married, we sat down and we prayed and we went over all those things. Every one of them. And she said, "Yeah, I believe that. I believe that." Amen. And I'm thankful that I did that. I'm not saying I'm anybody tonight. I'm thankful I had a dad that told me to do those things. And I encourage you, parents, if you've got kids, and I've got young kids, and they got, you know, I say I got a long way to go, but man, I blinked and Ella's 12. Amen. I'm going to blink again. She's going to be 20. Amen. And so these things come, but I want to make sure we're on the same page where the Bible's at. We need to know these things before we ever say I do. And I knew God had called me to pastor, and I knew that if I'd have married her, I could not stand up here and preach like I'm preaching today. I'm just telling you, there's pastors all over the country right now that cannot preach in their pulpit because of who they married. They can't preach. They have no authority in their preaching. They can't preach on sin. They can't do any of those things because of who they married. Amen. If you want to be in God's will, before you get started, try to get lined up with where the Bible's lined up. Amen. And those are not easy conversations to have. Amen. It's not all about what color is the carpet going to be, and what color house are we going to have, and what kind of dog are we going to have, and are we going to have this social media perfect life? Marriage is way more than that. Amen. We need to be on the same page. And thankfully, we have instruction manual that I don't have to come up with something and she don't have to come up with something. We just both have to fall in love with God and fall in love with the Bible and say, "What does the Bible say?" We don't have to argue about how to raise children. It's right here. We don't have to argue about what kind of home we're going to have. We don't have to argue about how we're going to dress. We don't have to argue about what activities we get into. It's all made up for us. We don't have to argue about what television shows we're going to watch. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen? I know this isn't popular by any stretch of the imagination, but we're talking about the home tonight. And the homes are in a mess. They're out of order. The wife's not submitting. The husband's not loving. And they're not on the same page with anything going on. And their idea of love and what they're doing is very mixed up. It's mixed up. Charity edifieth. When we think about love and you think about charity, those are two separate words. They're not the same word. They don't mean the same thing. The new Bibles will interchange those words, but I'm telling you, those are two separate words. Two things that are different are not the same. Now, charity involves love. Right? But charity and love are two separate, different things. The word charity is defined by different people and different things and different ways. And the most simplest way that I believe I can define it just for what we're studying here to talk about it is love is like a love for someone or a love for something. And charity is when you love to that person or you love to something. You understand what I'm saying? One is a strong liking. And the other one is a strong action, love and charity. And I've heard all kind of different explanations on that. Charity, another definition for it is love in action. It's something that does, not just says. You can tell somebody you love them all day long, but until you show them, you're not going to get very far. Right? And that doesn't mean you don't need to tell them. I've heard foolish men say, "I told her I loved her when I married her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know." You're an idiot. With a capital I. An idiot. I. You're a selfish idiot. Amen? And so you ought to tell her you love her. You ought to tell him you love him. But you need to show it also. How do I show him? By doing what the Bible says to do towards them. Husbands, you love your wife By protecting them. Amen. By providing for them. When he gets up and goes to work and comes home stinky and sweaty, that is charity. That's love in action. He is providing for your family because he loves you. Amen. When somebody's out in public and they're cussing in front of you and he tells them to shut up and don't do that in front of my wife, he's protecting you. Amen. That's love in action. Don't talk like that in front of my wife and kids. Why? Because I love them. So I'm going to show you that I love you. Don't do that in front of them. Protect your family. And we covered all those things for the man. A wife is going to show, and I'm going to get into more of this later, but going to show her husband that she loves him by submitting to him. Even when she doesn't agree with him. But her love towards him, her charity towards him, and again, I'm going to cover some of this later in more depth, is going to be submitting to him. And that's not always easy to do. Especially when you think he's wrong. Which is probably most of the time. But you... Brother Bones got sore ribs right now. Turn me to John chapter 13. Look, I know some of this stuff is hard to swallow, but if you're not going to hear it at church, where are you going to hear it? I promise you're not going to hear it on the television. You're not going to hear it on social media. And if you do, it's a watered-down version. It's a humanistic, watered-down version. And you're probably not going to hear it at the First Baptist Church either. All right, 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 18. This is an example of what I'm talking about, of charity. This could be a definition for it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible defines itself. Now, the word charity is not here, but what I'm describing is found here in 1 John chapter... Where did I tell y'all? I'm all over the place. Hold your place in 1 John, because we're going back there in just a second, okay? And then go to John. Yes, we're going to go to John 13. That's correct. And then hold your place in 1 John 3. Now that you found it, so we can go back there in just a minute. Can anybody tell me why we're all in the book of John when we're talking about love and charity? He was the love disciple, but why do you think one of those reasons is? Anybody got a guess? He was the closest one to Jesus. Whenever they were there, they're all sitting around the Lord's Supper. Where's John? He's laying on the breast of Jesus. He was right next to his heartbeat. What's the heartbeat of God? Souls of men. John laid there right on his breast. So you think that he, more than anybody, could write about God's love. He was the closest one to him. On the cross in John chapter 19, he looked down and said, Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He was the only one there that day. He's the one that wrote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. None of the other disciples could write about that. None of the other disciples could write, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because none of them were there, but John was. Amen. So John is an authority on the love of God. Wouldn't you say so? That wasn't even in my notes either. All right, John 13. John 13. All right, John 13, look at verse number 34. John chapter 13, verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Right? Is this what it says? It doesn't just say that you tell them that you love them, that you have love one toward another. They will know you're a disciple of Christ if they see your love one to another. Right? And I know this is dealing with all Christians, but we're talking about a husband and wife. You can see the love of Christ revealed in a home just by watching a family. Or you can see a home out of order just by watching a family. All right? Now go to 1 John chapter 3. When we think about charity and we think about love, charity would be a love that is not held in secret or is just in word. It's something that can be seen. Amen? It's something that's going to be a public action, a strong love. You know, strong love for someone will motivate you to do something for that person. You love that person. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Sometimes truth hurts, but it needs to be done in love. But when you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. Like as a pastor, when I preach, sometimes I think say things that are hard to be said and hard to be received, but I hope you know it's because I love our church and I love the families in our church. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't say any of these things. And so he says here, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. So don't just tell somebody you love them, but show them in deed and in truth. To say I love someone's fine, but saying you love a person does not prove anything. It doesn't prove a thing. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I love you, as they're putting a knife in your back or something? Amen? Well, that deed of love didn't feel too well. Amen? You've heard the saying, talk is cheap. Has anybody ever heard that before? Talk is cheap. And I'm telling you, talk of love in a home is very cheap. It's been cheapened so much. There's been people say, I love you. It's amazing to me. I despise social media. I do. And it amazes me how that there's a family that are on the brinks of divorce. They can't stand one another. They can't stand the sight of each other. They're fighting and yelling and arguing. But then they'll make up on social media in front of everybody. And they'll write this long post about how much they love this person and they're so thankful for them. It happens all the time. They'll fight. They'll separate. So I'm going to get in front of the whole world, God and everybody, and all my family, and I'm going to post this post about how much I love this person. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. You want to fix some of the problems going on in your home? Husband, provide and protect your family regardless of what she's doing, regardless of what's going on. Submit to him regardless of how you feel things are going. Regardless of if you like what he's saying. If you don't like what he's saying, if you don't like what he's doing, and he doesn't want to talk about it, then don't say anything and pray for him. Pray for him. And I've said this before, and some people don't like it, but whatever. If you really don't like him, like a whole lot, and you can't get along, and you're trying to submit to him, pray God kills him. We're going to find out who's right with God. Amen? The only other choice you have if you're going to stay with him is submit. Amen? Pray for him. And you say, well, I'm praying and he's not getting right. It don't matter. If you stay there, you submit. You stay, you submit. Submit, submit. And husband, amen? You married her. You love her unconditionally. You say, well, you don't know what I put up with. What does Christ put up with? He puts up with a lot. Amen? But he loves us. I mean, he gave himself for us. He saved us. I was adopted in the family of God, and I can't get out. Amen. And every time I do something foolish, He still loves me. I'm still His child. He didn't just jump in the car and go down the road and leave me hanging. Amen. Now God chastens those who He loves. Right? So there's going to be times where God's got to deal with things. But He still loves me. I'm still His. And husband, you married her. And listen, pray for her. The problem, I think, is we have some husbands and wives that do not believe that God can do something in that marriage. They say they're praying for them, but they're praying like, Lord, I don't know what you can do with her because I can't do anything with her. Amen? What kind of prayer is that? Amen? Are you praying with her every night? She don't want to be prayed with. We'll let her hear you praying for her anyway. Love unconditionally. Continue going to work. Continue providing. There's a lot of marriages that are in a mess. Now listen, I've talked about this when it comes to divorce. The Bible said, let nothing that God put together be pulled asunder. I know I just butchered that. You know what verse I'm talking about? Amen. But there's a lot of marriages God had nothing to do with. And some marriages may be that God had nothing to do with the start of that marriage. But later on, maybe you got saved or maybe you got right with God and you're trying to get the thing going again, but you started it off wrong. You started in sin. You started with your fleshly lusts. And now you're asking God to help you, and He can and He will if you'll let Him. Amen? You get up every day and try again. You know what that is? That's charity. That's love. Charity, love in action. Getting up every day and starting again. I blew it yesterday. It might take getting up every day saying, I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for running my mouth. Amen? And that goes both ways. And there's a lot to cover on this subject. But He says here, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That deed there is talking about action, actually doing something. It implies something being done that can be seen, not just told. It's something that can actually be seen, a demonstration of love. And I'm going to stop right there for tonight. Amen.